Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Lamanac with Nick Sciarra.
Now I'm on.
Mario's always on, 24-7. Yes, he's got New a lot York to City, say, baby. And you guys are here to play along, as we appreciate you. Barry checking in on some of the comments and questions people had. Obviously, real quick, your thoughts on your man, Rudy Tomjanovich. He got inducted into the Houston Sports Hall of Fame.
Boo.
But as I said, even during the time, not booing that he got inducted,
no,
but he deserves bigger and better.
Yeah, he should be in the – come on, man. How is Rudy not in the Hall of Fame? Look at the body of work, what he's been through. Almost died, coming back. Making the all-star team, all-pro, Olympic gold medal coach, two-time championship coach. He was the first guy who innovated the small lineup with putting Robert Horry at the four, making him a stretch four. I'm tired of all these people saying D'Antoni, whoever invented it. It was Rudy T in the 1995 finals, put Robert Horry or – semifinals against Phoenix, had Robert Horry at the four and had Hakeem Olajuwon, had the whole middle by himself. He should be in the Hall of Fame. That's ridiculous right now.
What was the reasoning behind Rudy doing that? Was there something that he identified that was a weakness, that if you guys moved Horry to the four, that was going
to
help?
We needed Dream to have more space. Mm-hmm. So when he got doubled, we had shooters ready to go, loaded, ready to go. So he had plenty of room. And at that time, Dreams were making outstanding decisions. You couldn't guard that man one-on-one. So we knew teams were going to send a double team. So that allowed our spacing to be great. We would kick the ball out. If this guy would rotate here, we'd just go to open man. Somebody would get a three. So
nice.
That's
plus,
why
the other thing was the way he guarded Barkley. He wasn't physically – had a lot of sand in his shorts – weight-wise, but because he was long,
yeah,
and he could jump, and he saved Dream and other guys in terms of wear and tear defensively, and then if Dream had to come over from the weak side, he could help. And like you said, Barry, but I mean, Rudy was an innovator in so many ways. He created that inverted offense of all the shooters on the outside, and if you double Dream, we're going to kill you. And everybody else gets credit for it, but that was his genius years before anybody thought of it.
And especially when you got one of the greatest players of all time. I mean, playing with Olajuwon, it was a privilege playing with that man for 5 years. And his level every night. I played with Dream 5 years. I may have saw 3 or 4 bad games in those 5 years. That's how good and dominant this man was in the level he played at. Jordan, Barkley, Malone, all those guys played at that level every night. It was a great time. Them 90s basketball, to me, was probably the best era of basketball. Just a lot of high-level players, man. Great players.
Speaking of Dream, John Harris on Twitter said, Barry, please ask Mario about the leadership of Hakeem. Although he was quiet, was his leadership different and private? And then he said, I love hearing Kiss of Death on the radio.
No, Dream is sort of like a Jason Kidd. He let his game do the talking. His game and the way he practiced. I mean, Dream go one-on-one with the guards. I mean, so when the center guard him, I said, he has no chance to guard this guy. He's crossing up guards in practice. So what makes you think a seven-footer is going to guard him? But just his confidence in us, being a great teammate, always laughing and joking, whether it was in the locker room, on the plane. Dream was a very private guy. He was really deep into Islam at the time. So when we'll get to a city, we'll never see Dream. Dream will be pray 5 times a day, have his carpets. And during Ramadan, he'll get up early to eat. So Dream was a great leader, but he very private guy. But when he was around us in practice, on the plane, on the court, you knew what you was going to get from 34 night in and night out.
I talk about his toughness, but the definition of Dream's toughness was during Ramadan. Because as we who traveled with the team knew, he was such a devout and strict believer in following the practice. On the bench, they tried to give him Gator gum. quench gum so that he could get the spit flowing. And he's like, no, that's cheating. They try to give him a little cup of water. No, that's cheating. And so they'd have it timed out to where the minute the sun went down, they had this massive plate of pasta and chicken breast and everything. And then he had to gulp that all down.
30 minutes. If we played a 7:30 game, Dream is in there 7 o'clock, gulping it down. The next thing you know, 40, 15, three blocks, that's four crazy. Assists. I'm like, dude, how you doing? We go to Chicago afternoon game, 35, no water, no food. This guy was amazing. so mentally
That's
tough.
What I was going to say. The mental focus of going to Chicago knowing you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't even have gum, and you go and drop on the world champs, you're going to drop 40 and 15.
I mean, this dude was a beast, man. He would just perform, being banged up. But the thing I like about Dream, he was available. That's what I say about the great players. They available every night. The one time he wasn't was 95. He hurt his knee. But, hey, we got Clyde Drexler and won another chip. So it worked out at the end. But Dream was phenomenal, man. Lonzo Mourning, David Robson, Patrick Ewing. I mean, the guy, Shaq. You know, the bigs back then, just awesome back then, and Dream will handle all those guys.
I think that's what, you know, you mentioned earlier that you think the 90s basketball was the best era of basketball.
Guards, and point guards,
I was
going to
say,
bigs,
when you think about it, every position, like right now, I feel like there's not a lot of dominant
the three
centers.
Spot to me is the you know, Paul George, LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis. They can play some four. That three spot, Kevin Durant, those are all three, man. The 3 minute is just a...
Otherwise, everybody's a stretch something. Stretch right. One, stretch four, stretch five.
Guy. Embiid shooting threes now. Like, yeah, it's there's not... You don't
that
see
don't
the
like,
dominance.
Embiid is so good, man. Why you even have him out there, man? Let him eat on the bar. That dude is just special.
But that's
there.
The other thing I get mad at. When you talk about a Karl Anthony Towns or an Embiid, all of a sudden they get so enamored with shooting the three, they forgot what got him in the league and got him good. Go down on the block and
get
use somebody.
Get to the foul line. Get somebody in foul trouble. We don't get nobody in foul trouble from the three-point line. So that's how the game has evolved. I'm hoping... the big man to come back, and we'll get back to standard
basketball.
Could
you imagine Dream in today's game out there? Like,
I imagine all the
threes.
Great players.
He'd have done it,
Dream
though.
Dream would have shot no three. Dream would have been down in the paint at 50.
He would. You don't think he would have accepted the challenge of, hey, you think he could knock out a three?
He would have shot a couple, but Dream said, I got all this box work. Dream
footwork.
I always say, Dream and James Harden, when they come to the gym, they come with a big old bag because they got step back, crossover, left hand, right hand. When those two guys come to the gym, boy, you can expect a lot of offense. That, them guys got a bag.
That was something I wanted to ask you earlier. If you were playing today, we talked about all of the players that you defended in your career and the laundry list of all-stars that you had to guard. How would you guard James Harden today?
Just I would try to be physical. It's funny how guys give him his left hand all the time. I don't understand. They play on his right side. I would definitely play up on him. I would fight over the screens. The one thing I give myself credit throughout my career, I never really fouled a lot of jump shooters. You know, I
get Cardinal this, sin, right?
Exactly. I'm like, why are you fouling 3-point shooters? I don't understand that. Excuse me, guys, but I would be very disciplined with him. I would make him work. Once he give up the ball, I would deny him. I wouldn't even think about helping. Mm-hmm. You know, Rudy T would always put me on the best play. So once them guys gave up the ball, I wasn't worrying about the other four guys. I wasn't letting Jordan get in it back. I wasn't letting Mashburn or Jimmy Jackson get the ball back or Stackhouse or
Two
Vince
Carter.
Two butts,
one pair of underwear. You were up
exactly.
In his jock the rest of the possession,
exactly.
Right?
I mean, I knew he went to the bathroom. I was, you know, I knew what kind of toilet paper he was using, Joe. So that's how tight D I was on this guy, man.
And the other thing that I feel is so looked over these days is the chemistry and the togetherness of a team.
Yeah.
You get your superstars, and they go one direction, and then you got the rest of the guys on the team. There might be a few clicks. But when y'all played, it didn't matter what your check said every 2 weeks. Scottie Brooks was as tight with this unit as Otis Thorpe, as Dream, as you, as Kenny. All these guys, Sam, everybody, Vernon, they were tight on and off the floor, and that said something, because then when times got tough, y'all could come together and it wouldn't be a problem.
Great point, John. That's how we were, Joe. We about kill each other, me and Vernon, in practice. But right after the buzzer sound, me and him, Sam, we going to eat together, laugh and joke. And like you said, Joe, it carries – that's so important. It carries on to the floor, man. And like you said, we've been in so many tough situations throughout our playoff runs. We were sort of comfortable with our backs against the wall. It was no panic. We down 3-1 in Phoenix. You go in the locker room, Kenny got the boom box blasting. We laughing and joking in there. because we always had belief in each other. We know the work we put in and the togetherness we had. I didn't want to let Vernon down. I didn't want to let Sam down. I didn't want to let Dream down. And that's how we approached the game, and we did not. And that's why we were successful.
So that brings up another question that I think a lot of fans have that we've talked a little bit about. Joel has talked a little bit about it on this show just by being there. But I'm curious from your perspective as being in that locker room day in and day out, when Cassell came to the Rockets and it affected Kenny's playing time, what was that dynamic like? Because you guys were tight. And, you know, you'd always hear it didn't matter who started the game. It mattered who'd finished. And they would bring in Cassell because he was, you know, they was all ice water in his veins, shooting those free throws and all that. What was it like in that locker room?
First of all, Sam had to jump over Scott Brooks first.
Yeah.
That was the first hurdle for Sam.
Right?
And once he jumped over that hurdle, I mean, you couldn't hold that young boy back, man. That dude was so special and talented. Sam was just a pure scorer. You know, you put Sam out there, man. Some games Sam had for us, man. I remember that Orlando game two. Off the bench, 34 points against Penny Hardaway, was guarding him most of that time. And he was going at him. That's what was special about Sam. East Baltimore. You got East Baltimore on the squad. You got New York City. You got Gainesville. You got Nigeria. You got Otis from Florida. You got Carrero from the hood of Caracas, Venezuela. So we had some rough riders on our team. Practice was competitive. But it was hard to hold Sam back because Sam was killing.
So was the weight room. If you got, the weight room was tough. Yeah, Amigo he was and killing Vernon Sam. Maxwell throwing weights at each other, starting fights.
Hey, it was crazy back then, Joe. I wasn't there. That was a year before me, but I heard about that.
No, I was there.
Where was Sam's locker in relation to Kenny's locker? Was there distance?
You know what?
Between
those guys were good. And were what they? Was good about it, one guy would get off. Sam would be the first guy to congratulate Kenny.
Oh, okay.
Sam would get off. Kenny would be the first guy.
That's great.
That said you a lot about our team.
Yes.
We're about each other, man. It wasn't an individual thing. If he was getting off that night, Rudy T would roll with it. So that was what was fun about our team. I know Vernon was mad a couple nights I finished games, but there were times I was playing well, and that's competitive in Vernon. That's what I love about Vernon.
Mario, yeah. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm saying, I get off one day, man. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. I'm gonna get mine next time.
VM 11 is a beast, yo. He'll be in town this week, man. Look, hopefully, I get to see him, man. V Max, love you, boy.
Oh, Vernon too. Yeah, Vernon was a different breed all in itself. Because we called the back. The plane was set up. The coaches and the owner were in the front. That was River Oaks. The middle class was the broadcasters in the middle. Then back in the hood.
Fifth Ward, baby. Fifth Ward in the
y'all
back.
Y'all be playing dice,
card game,
see, everything
music
was going
blasting.
On in the back of the plane with Vernon and Kenny and Sam and Mary and all those guys. And then all of a sudden you get Vernon going, damn, Sam, I looked at the side. Your eyes on the side of your head look like a fish. And then everybody just lose it. And we're sitting in the middle just laughing under our seats. But it was part of what made the Rockets special.
Exactly. That was a great group.
There you go. We'll wrap it up with Mario. Coming back, it is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Sometimes you get the dessert before the main course. Sometimes you get both all in one platter. We got Mario Ellie, so that's what you guys got on a Monday on The Usual Suspects, as he was generous and gracious enough to grace us with the first half of the show, talking a little bit about back in the day and today's game, NBA, AAU, and otherwise. So we appreciate it. Part of that is Barry's getting some of your guys' questions in off the text line for Mario. So
yeah, you had mentioned earlier about the back-to-back championships, and somebody said, how much did it motivate you guys to win that championship when you got word about getting Drexler on the squad?
We don't really hear about the stuff. I was surprised it happened. I was the guy rumored for a trade in 97. I didn't even know. And the trade never went through. So they really never informed the player. I sort of heard rumblings. I said, it's not going to be true. Then next thing you know, they pulled the trigger, you know. But we were struggling that year. Dream got hurt. I thought we got caught up in a little fat cat-itis, you know, living off our last year's championship. And so we sort of struggled a little bit. Teams were coming at us. We getting everybody's best game. And we made the trade for Clyde. And Dream was out to the end of the season. But Clyde, when he got here to the end of the season, was balling. So once I knew, I said, if Clyde can play like that, and I know 34 can play like that, I know we got a chance in the playoffs.
Is that true that you do get once you win that championship? Because we hear about it as fans. We hear about it a lot about, well, everybody's going to be gunning for you. Is that the case?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you riding high. People see you on TV. You on Sports Illustrated. They promoting the parade on national TV. You the man. You on top of the world. And Kenny said it best. A lot of guys who weren't getting another, a lot of notoriety were. So we thought we were all adding a bag of chips. And it affected us that 95 season. Unfortunately, it cost us OT, who was a big part of our first championship. We were very sad to see him leave. A lot of guys were upset that Clyde was on the team, but Clyde proved us wrong by his play.
And here's the other thing. Don't sleep on the fact that with Dream being dinged up, the motivation that he got from having his best friend traded to the team.
No question, Joe. Great point.
Brought something out of him that people didn't think he had because of injury. And when he got, he and Clyde, as much as you saw the Fight Slam Pajama days, don't realize how tight those guys were for so many years. And when we would go to Portland and play the Blazers, Clyde never went out. Clyde came to the hotel and stayed till the hotel bar closed with Dream. In a corner by themselves. Mm. So the motivation that he got from having his best friend acquired by the team to win a title, it was off the charts.
Yeah, and he came in hooping. And especially we talked about that situation off the air with V-Max leaving the team in the middle of the Utah series. So,
well, you said it. There was the guy that had the biggest problem with Clyde joining the team.
Yeah, and, you know, Vernon has the ego. And Vernon was a great player for Rockets. I mean, beside Dream in the 94, to me, Vernon was the second best and second most important player. So I feel Vernon in that instance, but I felt if we had Vernon and Clyde and myself, I felt we could have ran a couple more titles. But Vernon, you know, he made his decision, and Clyde felt a lot of pressure. He said, if we don't win it, they're going to blame me. So Clyde went and had that big game four in Houston, had 41. And I'm like, man, Clyde ready to go. I think we got a chance. So we went up there. And, you know, the rest is history. We won on and win back-to-backs.
How tired are you guys hearing about the fact that everybody says you won back-to-back, but you won them without Jordan in the league?
Exhausted. Exhausted. Because if you look at the head-to-head matchup throughout the 90s, I think the Rockets have the better of the record, and it's because of 34. I love Jordan. We had a couple guys who can guard him, not necessarily stop him, but they had nobody. I said again, nobody to stop Dream. And then Robert said it in a video, in a Clutch City video, Phil Jackson don't like to double. So if you're not doubling 34 with Luke Lawley and Bill Cartwright guarding, booking 55, 60 Man. Points for
Bill,
that game.
That's Bill how Cartwright good Elijah was. Like 107 years old down there.
I know, I know. And you got Luke Longley and Bill Winnington.
Man.
Dream would have ate a lot of food that night, boy.
What's on the horizon for you? I know that, look, we've known each other forever, and you know, for a while there, you were the hot commodity, which I thought you were going to finally get yours and get a head coaching job. Paid your dues, did the whole assistant coach thing. Then you witnessed guys that you played with and against that didn't have any experience, like Jason Kidd, like a Derek Fisher, get head coaching jobs. And I know that kind of, you wanted to spend some time with the family too, and that kind of helped you make that decision. Do you want to get back into it?
I'm thinking about it. You know, I'm enjoying being a dad, but I'm thinking about maybe the college level. I'm getting some feels, calling some people out, because I see a lot of NBA guys going down. Penny, who else you got at the college level? Avery was there.
Yep.
So, and listen to those guys about their experience. Stackhouse is at Vanderbilt. So we got a couple quality guys, you know, moving down to college. And I think at that level, the kids, you know, they're going to work hard for you, you know.
Well, they gonna learn need you, so they got to listen.
Exactly, they got to listen. NBA, they don't need you when they get up to that level. But I think in college, they'll listen a little more. So I'm thinking about that. But I'm working on a couple projects, and I'm just enjoying being a dad, just going to my daughter's volleyball game. Now my sons start their hoop season. I can't wait to watch them play. Our first game is Friday. So
Memorial, right?
Yeah. Memorial in Hastings. Y'all be there at Hastings High School Friday at 7 p.m. to check Gaston and Glenn Elliott, get some buckets. Come check us out.
Seniors? Are they seniors?
Juniors.
Juniors. How's the looks coming?
Slow. But my middleman really, though, he wants to be a businessman. He just wants to be on the high school team. But I think Gaston, He's a late bloomer, so he'll start getting some looks, I think, his senior year. So it's
and
a
your daughter's going to get a scholarship for volleyball?
No, my daughter's a A student, so I think she wants to go to school and have a little fun, and I'm good with
she's
that.
She's a heck of a volleyball player, right?
She is, but she doesn't think she wants to play. She's back and forth, so. But her two schools are USC and UT, so those are not bad.
Not
but
bad
it costs
at all.
A little bit,
oh,
too, though.
Oh, yeah. It sets you back a little bit.
If they don't have the heart of a champion of keeping exactly. sports, at least they got it with the books and the right schools to choose. Well, we appreciate you, man. Always good coming in, spending some time. I know you've always been loyal to us, and I appreciate that. But I wanted to get you in here with Barry, and it, the right times. Timing was right.
Yeah.
Joe, Barry, and Nick, y'all family. So anytime y'all call, I'll be there for y'all. Y'all have a great show. Very proud of the three of y'all. Funny. Very informative. Just keep up the good work, boys. Very proud of y'all three.
Appreciate that,
thanks
brother.
For being
we always
there, man.
Do.
No problem.
Mario Elie on the show, and during the season, look for him to make a few more appearances throughout because you want the best. Well, you come here and don't settle for less, and he'll give you his perspective, which he's not going to candy coat. He's just going to tell you how it is, and that's the way you want it to be, and that's how we try to do it here at ESPN 97.5. So that's the first half, and it was obviously basketball-driven. Lots to get to in the second half. Obviously, with the Texans off, we've got NFL to talk about, and at least one team did the Texans a favor. And, of course, the college football world was sent into a frenzy with the way that LSU played against Alabama this weekend. So plenty to chop up there and a whole lot more. Stay tuned for the second half of the show, won't you? It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects to wrap up the first half of the show with this segment coming up. We do want to remind you that we've got a road trip coming up. You guys are always asking, how do we get out and see you guys on remote? How do we get a t-shirt? All those different things can be settled with one trip, and that would be to Beaumont. We are going to be in Beaumont as well as the Blitz at Red's Ice House Friday, 1 to 7 p.m. We're going to have Miller Coors Light specials, food specials all day. Come start your weekend early, grab a Miller or Coors Light, and hang out with us in the Blitz Friday, November the 15th from 1 to 7 p.m. And our friends, the Popes, are also going to be there. They're always great as the suspects that come out to see us whenever we're in B-Town. They're also going to have a friend of theirs that's doing a clothing drive. So if you're in the area and you're planning on being at the remote, also, if you could, you know, if you've got some coats or some clothes that are gently used that you want to get rid of.
Socks, gloves, ski caps, anything for the homeless to keep them warm during the winter. Bring them by Reds. I'm bringing some stuff.
I think I'm going to do the same.
She tweeted us and Fred and AJ and said and Nick and said, hey, we've got a friend named Barry, not me. Although I'm their friend, that collects items for the homeless and distributes them firsthand. So this isn't something where it's going to go through some corporation and they sell it and make money. He just collects stuff and then he drives around giving it to homeless people that are cold and need to stay warm. So there will be a donation box there on Thursday. So we'll try to fill it up.
And as we said, we always love going to Beaumont because, quite simply, you guys are the best. You come out in droves. You hang out for the entire time and are always so supportive of us. So we appreciate you guys.
Although she said Thursday, and I think she's confused because that confused
me.
It is Friday.
Threw me for a loop, too.
Yeah, it is Friday that we'll be at Red. So I hope the donation box will be there on Friday to Lauren.
We'll figure it out. She can't get everything right. They're loyal suspects. They support us. They wear our T-shirts all over the world. So we'll let it slide. We'll get the right information out there. So we'll see you guys Friday. And if you can, bring some stuff to help some people in need right before the holiday season. We would appreciate that.
Word up.
All right. So we got a ton of basketball out of the way with Mario, and that was fun. Let's talk about football. Where do you want to start?
I think you got to start with the game of the week, right?
Or the year, maybe, if you're talking about college football.
Miami and – oh. Oh, yeah. I was going to say Miami and Indianapolis. No.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That was awful. No, that LSU-Bama game.
And you know what? Here's the thing. And it didn't disappoint because at the half, a lot of people were like, oh, I turned 13. It off, thought it was over, and left. I was like, that's on
Why
you.
Would you do that? Now, whoever did that is not a good college football watcher.
No, I had a couple of friends that were like, yeah, man, I thought it was over at the half.
They're
I left.
Crazy.
I was like, boy, did you miss out on the second half? Because Tua brought them back. made a couple of really unbelievable plays and throws to get them there. But Joe Burrow lived up to billing. I mean, if Joe Burrow didn't win the Heisman before this game, he pretty much solidified it with the way he played. No turnovers, and just did everything LSU could have possibly imagined offensively. Not that Alabama did a whole lot wrong. They made a lot of mistakes in the first half, obviously. But great game, and in my opinion, the better team won.
I agree. I mean, I took a lot of heat from a lot of folks on Twitter and so forth when I was defending LSU as being the number one team in the country. We've talked about it. We both agreed that they were, they should have been just because of their resume. And, I facetiously tweeted out, I can't wait to hear Kirk Herbstreit and everybody else justify somehow how Ohio State should still be number one, even after LSU has now beat Bama. And, I mean, AJ and I got into it, not really got into it, like we were just, exchanging barbs or whatever. But I don't see how, and he, by the way, I just want to point out, he agreed LSU should be number one.
Okay.
He just thinks, and I agree Ohio State should be number two. I just said this was the case 2 or 3 weeks ago. And there's no way now that LSU isn't number one, right?
I completely agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when you look at the front page of ESPN's college football, there's a dude named – oh, where the hell did it go? I'm going to roast this so bad. There's a college football playoff predictor.
Okay.
That has LSU and Ohio State tied at 99 points. This is the problem with math. And y'all know me, I love math. But damn it, there has to be something said for LSU beating Bama – and they were boat racing them in the first half. There was, and my point was that score wasn't really as close as that. It was closer than the game was, to be honest with you, because that kind of fluky punt return for a touchdown, minute and a half left, they gave up the 85-yard bomb. That's 14 points right
there.
Don't
sell short. They did it on their turf, too. That was going to be the second point. Backyard.
So not only was it the score closer than what the game really was, they did it on the road. 33-13 at the half in Tuscaloosa. Who's doing that? The best team in the country is doing that. I don't even think Ohio State goes in there and is up 33-13.
Well, and it was interesting to finally hear the pundits say what you and I have been preaching about for maybe 2 weeks, which was you either do the eye test or you just do the strength of schedule. Because strength of schedule says LSU number one, hands down, it's got to be. Now, I don't think in a lot of ways that people should have a big argument that goes against LSU, even on just talent on both sides of the football. But you can make the argument looking at how much talent Ohio State has with their defensive line and their defense and Young and all those guys, as well as their offense, that you could say, yeah, okay, talent-wise on both sides of the ball, because LSU is a little down defensively and they're way up offensively. But that's the separation. But when you say that at the time, and I know the Texas game, a lot of people say doesn't count now because they're not ranked anymore. But Texas was ranked when you play them, and that's all you can do is handle the business when you're playing that given team. What is that? Four teams now, four straight wins against teams ranked when you beat them. And Alabama doesn't come close to that.
In the top 10, right.
So that's all I need to hear and say. Strength of schedule to me says it all. You played the best. You beat the best. You're undefeated. You got the Heisman Trophy winner. Looks like, and I think they should be number one.
LSU has the toughest strength of schedule in the country by far as of this week. Obviously, Bama helps that rating go up a ton, but they are number one right now. Their rating is a 14.1. Auburn is second with a 13.5. Ohio State has the fifth toughest schedule in football at 11.6. So, good luck trying to find Clemson. You got...
But that brings up a good point I was going to ask you guys.
You got to scroll for a while.
Did you hear Rex Ryan this morning?
Uh-uh.
He says anybody...
Clemson, by the way, 43rd.
He says anybody crapping on Clemson, they should be in the top three, and that neither Big Ten team should even be in the top four, and that he said what we're really going to get is a Final Four in which Clemson is going to get boat raced. Ohio State's going to get boat raced by either Clemson or one of the other two teams because the Big Ten isn't that good.
It's weird because I didn't think the Big Ten was great. I mean, I thought it was Ohio State, Penn State, and then just a bunch of teams, right? But apparently everyone else thought so because Ohio State's strength of schedule all year has been so high. And AJ's point has been they've just dominated everybody. But they haven't played anybody. They played Michigan State and they played Wisconsin. And that's it. And they Michigan State is their Texas, if we're going to be. So sure, you can scratch off Michigan State, and you can scratch off Texas on LSU. But LSU has still had to play Florida. They still played Auburn, and they played Bama. And right now, if you look at the AP poll, the lowest-ranked team out of those three that I just gave you is Auburn at 13. So they've got wins against 13, 11, and 4 currently.
Yeah, no, but and here's all I'm saying, too, because you look at it, you say, look, from top to bottom, when you look at the conference and you look at Wisconsin, which, depending on how the rankings come out now, were 13 in the playoff rankings last week. They won against a ranked team in Iowa, so that they're going to probably move up. They still have Minnesota on their schedule, but you got Minnesota undefeated. You've got Penn State. You've got Ohio State. So the top five or six, which is always the case, the top five or six teams in the Big Ten are loaded. But you could say the same thing about the SEC. It's just that I don't understand why the SEC, you could say that, you know, Auburn and some of the other ranked teams there are better than, you know, some of the ranked teams in the Big Ten. I thought Minnesota was going to get beat by Penn State this weekend.
I did too.
And that didn't happen. So Rex Ryan say, well, you know, PJ Fleck, you can take your row, row your boat and get boat race too because you're not very good either. Well, you know what? There's still a half of the season to be played, and we'll find that out. But for the time being, the rankings are based on where these teams are and how high they were ranked when you played them, and you can't argue with LSU.
I think Penn State's a good football team.
I do too.
Stuff happens sometimes, and Minnesota might be slept on quite a bit. But, you know, again, I think Minnesota's talent is, you know, when you start looking at it, it's Ohio State and Penn State, and then there's a pretty significant gap, I feel like, between the third in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And
please don't ever embarrass us by comparing us to Minnesota. Okay.
Well,
I think Wisconsin is up there with Penn State in terms of talent wise. Yes.
Okay.
And they've shown that if you look at their track record over the last 10 to 20 years. But like I also told you guys, what 5-star recruit wants to go to Wisconsin?
Right. But the problem, and I would agree with you if Wisconsin didn't have that Illinois loss.
But Illinois won again last weekend. They're showing you they're not that bad, but I get it. It was a bad loss. But here's the thing, even with you and AJ talking about it, you look at that Ohio State-Wisconsin game, midway through the third quarter, it was a 3 or 4 point game. And then Ohio State just opened it up. It was like 17-13, and then Ohio State just ran off like 25 straight. So,
well, you got to play the home game.
I know
game.
You got to finish. I'm
otherwise,
not saying that,
LSU
but I'm also
won 33-13. So.
Look, Ohio State gets credit for a victory like that. But you know what? Also, don't sleep on the fact that if Wisconsin
Stop
comes
defending
back and
Wisconsin.
Beats Minnesota before this is all said and done, look out now. They can win their half of the Big Ten.
Okay.
And then you'll have to give me credit for the fact that team does have more, at least as much talent as Penn State. That ticked
you
me
done?
Off. I'm
Good.
Close. All right, so we can continue talking about college football. Obviously, LSU-Bama, top of mind with everybody after the big win this weekend. So if you got calls or texts you want to get in on that, we'll get you in. Also, a big weekend in the NFL in which, would you believe, a past quarterback of yours did the Texans a huge favor? We'll talk about that as well. All that and more coming up. But before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. I've been telling you about them a long time. 5 area locations around Houston, and it's the best place to watch sports if you're not going to watch it at home because all the work is done for you, and you get the beautiful Twin Peaks grills on top of all that. It's made from scratch, entrees and appetizers, so the food is absolutely top-notch. You've got 29-degree draft beers all over the place, so you know your beer is going to be ice cold. And they've got all the screens and all the packages, so you can watch college and pro football. You can watch Premier League soccer if you want to watch that. You can watch the NBA, NCAA basketball, which is now getting started. And you can get it all on multiple screens right in front of your table, so you don't have to do anything but just enjoy. It's the way they like to do things. Their calendars are now on sale, so the Twin Peaks girls calendar is out there for 2020. If you want to get that and add it to your man cave, well, that's available with every Twin Peaks location. You can get that. And Veterans Day, free meals November the 11th. Honored and at their opportunity, they will serve those who have served. Veterans Day today, all active duty military reservists eat free from a select menu all day today. Enjoy made-from-scratch favorites like the cheeseburger or chicken tenders with fries. Visit your Twin Peaks location if you're a veteran and score even more. It's Twin Peaks. I keep telling you guys, it's the best place to go. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, rolling through the second half of the show as we kicked it off with some football. Talking college, then we'll talk pro, and of course your comments in between. If you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. If you missed any of the Mario Ellie Hour, we had him in for an extended period of time to cover a bunch of topics. Check that out. Just go to ESPN975.com. Click on the suspects at the top of the page. You can catch up on the hours you missed. Hour one, all Mario, all the time. It was good stuff.
It was good stuff. I'm sorry. I was reading. I'm trying to catch up on Twitter at the same time.
Okay.
And the text line. Somebody said, if Auburn beats Georgia and Bama, do they get a playoff spot? Their only two losses were Florida and LSU. No, not with two losses. And then Bama now, the mystique is off Bama because they have a loss. You're beating one-loss teams. That's not going to help you as much. You got to go in there, and they had to beat LSU if Auburn wanted to
beat.
You need
a lot of help if you're Auburn, including Alabama losing, but you also need a lot of other teams that could be one-loss teams falling by the wayside quickly for you, because everybody has said, look, if Bama loses this game, as good as they play the rest of the year, there's a pretty legitimate chance that they don't get it. So they've got to really bust their tails just to try and get it back to where they can get in that playoff. And obviously, they got to make it to the SEC championship game and hope they get a second look at LSU.
Yeah, there's so many teams, right? I mean, with Minnesota being undefeated and what's going to happen out in the Pac-12 with Oregon, and, you know, there's a lot still.
Oklahoma's still trying to claw and scratch their way from a Big 12 perspective. So. There's going to be a lot that has to be worked out between now and then. But look, that's a pretty long road to hoe if you're Auburn,
especially when you've still got undefeated Baylor, undefeated Minnesota. Plus,
Baylor got lucky.
Yeah, but I'm saying these teams are still undefeated, and I know they're getting lucky. But if they win, Baylor gets lucky all the way to winning the Big 12. Yep. What do you do with an undefeated Baylor that wins the Big 12?
No, you're absolutely right. So that's what we're saying. There's Auburn, so many teams.
Yeah, it's tough for Auburn right now. I don't know. I'm not sure that it's possible that they get into a four spot, especially as Clemson probably remains undefeated. Ohio State probably runs the table. LSU looks like they'll run the table. Now, leave it up to LSU. They're probably the closest to, you know, their proximity to Houston lends it to where they would do something stupid and lose a big letdown.
Yeah, don't have a big letdown this week after all you just earned with what you just did. That's a great point.
I'm not trying to jinx them, guys. Clarence, settle down. I'm not trying to jinx them, but they got Ole Miss and then Arkansas and then A&M. And wouldn't it be just like LSU to go out and lose to A&M?
It's a great point. You got to keep your foot on the pedal. You got to keep your foot on their throats and keep pressing downward because you got teams breathing down your neck that say, hey, we just want you to slip up, because there's plenty of teams in and around that top 10 that with one loss figure, hey, all it takes is one slip up, we're back in the conversation.
Fact of the matter is, you've got three teams that at the top in Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU that if they run the table, they're in. There's no doubt about it.
Clemson, just with that schedule and that conference, there should be no reason why they don't just absolutely steamroll everybody.
So then you're going to have to now decide, is there going to be, you know, and let's just make just for wild assumptions and bleeps and giggles. If Baylor somehow beats OU, wins the Big 12, and Minnesota loses, one game. Well, I guess they would lose to Ohio State if Ohio State runs the table, right, in the Big 10?
Yeah.
So you'd only really have – there's only Baylor's the last hope of being undefeated.
I think Ohio State's going to handle Penn State. And you know, I honestly believe Wisconsin's going to beat Minnesota. So then you're not going to have to worry about that either. Because I really think that both – aside from Ohio State, I think the Big Ten and the Pac-10 or Pac-12, as it's called, I think they're overrated. I think you're going to get two SEC teams. I think you're going to get Clemson, and I think you're going to get Ohio State.
The Big Ten is the two divisions, right?
Right, and then they play.
Minnesota? It ends up coming down to Wisconsin,
Minnesota. And then Penn State lost to Minnesota already, and it'll decide itself because Penn State still plays Wisconsin.
Okay.
So that'll all work itself out. But I don't think Ohio State's going to have a second sweat in terms of how much they got to work to beat anybody on the other side, including Wisconsin.
So really, again, your big surprise is Baylor, and that's
I don't think it's happening.
I don't think it's. I think they lose to OU.
I agree.
But I'm just saying, if you're looking at somebody like, because they're saying Auburn at 13, I just think this is – you're going to have to decide, is it going to be Bama, Georgia, or Oregon?
Yeah.
That's going to have that fourth spot, and that's what it's looking like right now. Now, could any of them lose? I don't think Bama loses again. Have they played Auburn yet? Well, they still got to play Auburn.
No, they got Auburn. That's always a rivalry game. So that's
I was going to say, they still
got to
play Auburn. Yeah, and Georgia, they got Auburn next, so that might help that. But
so we'll see. All right. We were talking LSU-Bama, and Fred wants to get in here, I guess, prior to the show. What's up, sexy bitches? Fred, come on in.
Fred Fowler, what's up, man?
Hey.
Oh, it's not Fred Fowler. What happened? Thanks, Fred.
That.
Appreciate that,
Thanks,
buddy.
Fred.
I'm a big Alabama fan, and I got to give credit to LSU. They came to play. I know all my Alabama fans going to hate me for saying this, but the offensive coordinator for LSU came with a plan with our freshman linebackers in the middle of the field, and they destroyed them. Now, for Alabama in the playoff, you guys right. They need to be on the outside looking in, and we just need to hope something crazy during rivalry week in the conference championship go crazy where we can slide back in. Like I said, love the show, guys, and what's your thoughts?
Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it, man. Look, I mean, here's the thing. Everybody's looking for help at this point. If you are an Alabama fan, an Auburn fan, all the SEC. So is it out of the possibilities? No. But out of the realm? But no. But is it going to be an easy walk? No, because of the fact that, of course, and Barry, you made the great point that, look, it's basically Alabama saying if they lost, it's because Tua wasn't 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and if they won, then it's a hell of a win against a team ranked that high. They do have the best resume to say that they can find their way back in. But even them, their schedule's going to dictate a lot. And let's be honest, they didn't play all that great. I mean, Alabama teams making self-destructing and making some of the mistakes that they made.
Yeah,
I mean, Tua fumbled, no one was near him, and he just gave it away.
I think Alabama's best chance of getting in at this point is they need Georgia to beat LSU in the SEC championship game. If that happens, then now you've got, and it always seems to be the SEC that does this, but you've got 3 1-loss teams, mm-hmm, where you've had LSU beat Bama, you know, and Georgia beat LSU, and Bama did their thing, and they've got the win over Auburn at the end of the season. So their one loss, if Bama, would be to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's their biggest chance of maybe sneaking in at this point. Because if Georgia looks good in that LSU game, do you put in Bama or do you put in LSU? I mean, do you put in Georgia in that fourth playoff spot? If that's a close game for the SEC title and Georgia loses by a field goal at the buzzer or something like that, what do you do?
I think the main thing you'll get is then you're going to get the eye test.
This is the beautiful thing, though, because there's 1,000 different scenarios, and this is why college football gets so fun at this time of year.
No question about it. And give some props to the LSU's running back.
Boy.
Clyde Edwards. Is it Hilary? Dude was, I'm talking about, I don't, and they were talking about his height. I don't care about his height. I'm talking about his heart. That dude was running people over, Mack trucking them, and it was fun to watch.
Give some credit to Joe Burrow.
Oh, I already gave it to him. Dude, I already gave him the Heisman, for God's sake. How much credit does he need?
That dude, man, he balled out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, that's hour number two. Still got an hour to go with the show. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. If you want to join us, like Fred just did, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Final hour of The Usual Suspects coming up next on ESPN 97.5.
This Veterans Day, ESPN 97.5 says thank you to all who have served and sacrificed. We thank you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.